you didn't get from the little video, today we're going to discuss parenting. And to tell you the truth, I've been talking in front of people for a long time, and I've always avoided talking about parenting for a couple of reasons. One, it just stresses me out. Another reason is that any time that you start to talk about how people should raise their children or what God wants them to raise their children or any kind of way of raising your children, it feels like first you're excluding anybody who doesn't have children, and then you're excluding people who can't have children, and then you might be insulting or people might feel judged by what you're saying about the way they parent. And so I prefer just not to be in that position altogether. So I haven't talked about parenting. But as I have read Proverbs over and over again, the thing that's hit me is it's like a parenting manual. It actually is Solomon and a few other wise men telling young people how to live their life. They keep saying, son, don't do this. Son, do this. Son, do that. In fact, the daughters are totally... Is Julia... Just pause for a moment. So anyway, daughters are totally out. So if you're a woman, you really don't have to obey, according to them. But men, you're really in for it. Yeah, so this kind of stresses me out. So let me put this preface on it. The other reason that talking about parenting stresses me out is because I actually think I know something about it. So I might come off a little emphatically or come off... I may say things and you'll think, does he really think that? Is that what you have to do? Because I don't agree with him at all. So what I'm going to say is, I kind of summed up all of Proverbs and into eight principles, and we're going to talk about those. And as we kind of tease out those principles, I'm going to just sort of say things that I think. And you can take what I think or not. Now, the other reason I think talking about parenting is good is we have people getting married here, so there can possibly be new parents. We have new parents here. We have people getting pregnant, like it's like the thing to do at the village right now. So we have lots of opportunities to become fathers and mothers. Now, I also though think that this applies really well to just our relationships, in particular mentoring relationships that we might have. These principles will work well in that too. And lastly, we have sons and daughters in here, and I will try to talk to sons and daughters a little bit and try to remind you of what is important. So let's just get started looking at Proverbs and looking at what God says about parenting, what Solomon thinks about parenting, and we'll just go after it. We're going to start in Proverbs 22:6 at the very top of your notes. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, most of us would like that as a guarantee, but it's not. It's a probability. So if you raise your child well in the way he should go, it's probable that he'll stick to that, but not necessarily guaranteed. But what's really interesting about this, I was listening to the beginning of Proverbs, a couple sermons that I was talking, the first two, I think, and what I said was, as we go through Proverbs, what you're going to be confronted with over and over again is intention. That the wisdom of Proverbs is that you need to live an intentioned life. And so the first thing it says here is that you need to train a child. Now, when you train an army, and Keith can tell you this, in fact, Keith taught survival training class at the, one at least he did. And so he knows about training, and training requires discipline, and training requires a plan. In fact, he's the training officer at a child probation, so he has these big manuals that everybody has to go through and do, and it's very organized and disciplined, because to train somebody, you have to want to have outcomes, and you have to have planned outcomes, and so it requires some intention, and it requires thinking. Susan started reading a book that Blanca gave her on time management. And the one thing it said about time management was that people who manage their time well think about outcomes, not events. People think about what's going to happen, what they want to happen, not the event that's happening. Like, you know, they don't get their blinders on the one event. They know that a series of events are going to get them an outcome, and that's what they're focused on, is that outcome. So, in intention, I think there are two things that you need to do if you're going to be a parent or even a mentor. This is good if you're mentoring people, is to ask the question, what do I want this boy, this girl, this person to look like down the road? What do I want them to become? What are they going to be? And then you set some goals and some events. You put some events into their life to develop that. So, part of being a good trainer of your child is to be intentional. It's to know what you want your child to be. So, I just want to take one moment in between all of this, though, before we dig into the eight principles, and have you guys just give me, if you could, some sentences that your dad or mom, if your dad and mom were influential in your life, or some other person who was as an influential mentor in your life, the sentences they gave you that kind of you still live by, or you still remember, or you still think about, or they just haunt you somehow. Is there any sentences that... What's that?
Good or bad?
I like good, but you can give me bad if you want.
Sorry doesn't cut it, son.
That's a good one. Okay. Respect people if you want to be respected. You are an example.
Finish everything up on your plate.
You should know better. You're known by your friendships. Anybody else?
Work hard.
Oh. Anybody else?
Always speak the truth.
You have choices. That's a good one. Your choices have consequences. So it sounds like a lot of you have mentors, parents, who are at least trying to build something intentionally or haphazardly into your life that has helped you move forward. So I just want to look at eight principles that I think will help in thinking about parenting and so forth. So we're going to start. I decided not to name any of them. You can write in the names if you want to have a name for the principle. But principle number one is going to be in Proverbs 1. Starting in verse 8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give into them. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." It says, listen, son, because the father is the one who instructs and the mother is the one who teaches. Now, in the village, we have a whole set of beliefs about the roles of men and women. Some of us are, for those of you who know, understand, are Federalists. We believe the man is the head. Others believe that there's an equal relationship. Others of us believe women are supreme above all people. There's a whole collection. And so we don't have something that we stand on, but at least within this proverb, it's interesting that what the writer of the proverb says is that men, fathers instruct, and that word instruction has to do with more discipline. The kind of instruction that child is going the wrong way, father moves child in right way. So sort of more the stern, okay, no, you can't go this way any longer. And mothers, on the other hand, are the ones who consistently are teaching how to live life. So as parents and as mentors, what you need to know is that your job really is to teach and instruct. I love what on that video when she's talking about friendship with children. Like, you know, your 41-year-old friend won't really dig you disciplining her, you know. And you can't really discipline a friend. Your children really aren't your friends. And they may someday have friendship with you, but not when they're little. So the first thing I think in Proverbs kind of suggests that you can actually teach your children, and one of the really high responsibilities is to teach them what kind of friends to have. Tom already said, you know, watch what kind of friends you have. Something that mothers and fathers are to do is to teach their children what kind of friends to have. So I think what mothers do is consistently and constantly talk and teach about friends. My mom, it's funny, I remember this when I was like 5, and I remember these conversations seeming like they went on for hours. I think they only went on for like 2 minutes. But like every time I would go play with a friend, my mom would always be debriefing me. Like she'd be asking me about the friend, and she would even want me to analyze the friend, and we'd pray for the friend, and we had a big dialogue about all my friends. But she was trying to build into me critical thinking about my friendships. And I think it's important for us to teach our children how to recognize people who are going to entice us into things we shouldn't be doing, and how to resist that, and how to know what kind of friends will lead us closer to God. So the first one is, your job is to instruct, and one of the places you can begin is just to talk to your children about what kind of friends they should have. Principle number 2 in Proverbs 2 and in Proverbs 6 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Jumping to 6. "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them up upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are awake, they will speak to you." There's 2 ideas that I like here, and I think it's really important as a parent to do, and that is to consistently and constantly explain why the benefits of what you tell people. That I love in chapter 6 where it says, if you listen to what mom says, if you listen to what dad says, it will keep you at all times. It will be this constant tape player in your life. And so I think, and chapter 2 also talks about, if you listen and you do what I say, you're going to learn what it means to fear God. Part of being a parent is the constant reminder of why you're telling your children what to do. Now, my daughter at 5 or at 4 constantly asks why. Why this? Why that? Now, she uses that so she doesn't have to do what she wants and is told to do most of the time. But also she does that because she wants to know about everything. And I was talking, Lori Allen was here this week, for those of you who know who Lori is. She was over at the house, and she was talking about how when she was growing up, parents just said, this is the way it is, but they never said why. And so there's no real reason connected to why there is this instruction. And part of that, I think, is because as parents, we don't really have any direction and purpose ourselves. Because we really don't have any intention. We don't really have a training program for our children set up. So we don't have really good explanations. And we don't necessarily have a good grasp on our own mission as a family. If you talk to Aaron Cromer, you know, I think it's really good, and it's also kind of funny because he has his mission memorized. So if you ask him today, I think he has children. So everybody ask Aaron for his mission because he'll give it to you. The bad thing about having a mission like Aaron's is that everyone will keep you accountable to your mission if you've got it memorized. It's better not to tell anybody. But it's cool, though. He has a mission. And what's cool is that if you have a mission, if you can define what mom and dad are about, why you do what you do, you can connect that to why you're telling your children what to do, why the rules are the way in the house. And that increases in explanation as children get older. And even as they come into adulthood, my mother continues to explain to me why she did what she did, and I'm not so sure I agree, but she did have reasons. I think it's important to have that constant reminder, but it's also important, I think, and I love this, because all this instruction in Proverbs 2 leads to what? The fear of God. And I think ultimately the mission of the family is we are moving in the kingdom of God. And the purpose of having children is actually to grow the kingdom of God. When you have babies, those little, and you grow them up in your family, you're growing up a little kingdom of God kid. And you're giving them ways to think about the world that other people who don't grow up in a kingdom family have. You're giving them filters and grids. And so the better you structure those, the better they are going to be able to walk into the world and stay stable, but also the better they're going to be able to help other people and help other people think through things. So that's principle number two. Explain what your mission is and why you're telling kids to do what they're doing. And kids in the back, not when your parent tells you to do it, but afterwards, if they don't tell you why, ask them. Say, hey, why did I have to do that? What was going on there? You still have to obey, but they might be able to give you a good reason for it. Principle number three. And I did have a label for it, but I didn't put it on there. Values and discipline. My favorite part. How you discipline your child. So let's just read through all these wonderful proverbs about how we're supposed to discipline our children. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord's discipline disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Folly bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. My mom quoted that to me all the time. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Funny, last night I was sitting with Lori having this really good conversation about her daughter and parenting, and she was talking about spanking, and she was talking about just struggling disciplining, and then Jesse happened to be sitting there. And he said, oh man, when I was Mia's age, I was horrible. And my mom, she really had to spank me. And man, it worked. And he was advocating this because, of course, he was past the spankings now. And so he was definitely advocating this for Mia, Lori's daughter. But it's funny that the discipline that Julie offered Jesse provided some wisdom for him later on in life. Discipline. Last week, we were talking about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and in a part, we were talking about what it means to acknowledge someone. And one of the things that I think most parents do, including myself, because we kind of have this laziness in us, we really struggle with acknowledging our children. Most of us have a goal to maintain. We want to maintain the peace, but we have a hard time acknowledging. So a good example is just like when I'm talking to someone, and my daughter comes and she starts yanking on me. Now, I'm already a little upset because she hasn't followed the rules of saying, excuse me, Dad, and then waiting. But then I don't really want to acknowledge her, even if she does say, excuse me, because I'm having a good conversation. And in that kind of dynamic, what it tells a child is, I'm really not important. And most of the time, what discipline does, it tells children they're important. And so really what I should do is find out what my daughter wants and give her a structure. Okay, honey, now you need to go do this, and then we'll go do this. Discipline, it doesn't matter if you spank, if you have timeouts, whatever creative, wonderful thing you want to do. I love what the nanny lady said. It matters that you follow through and that you're consistent and that your children know what you're doing and that you don't have 700 rules. But you're just consistent. And I think that's really hard for us because a lot of times it requires that we be disciplined in our own lives. To discipline a child means that we have to get down on their level. We have to explain the instructions. My mother, and bless her soul, I don't know if this was the wisest thing in the world, but she believed that she was not, for me at least, going to change her life. So she wasn't taking her plants and going to put them higher. She wasn't going to take any of all of her little decorations down when I started walking. So what she did is she went to every single thing that she had, and she took me by the hand, and she said no and no, and then she would say, I will correct you, but I guess I don't know what all that meant. But she gave me a very clear way of dealing with everything. And then when I would touch something, she would say no, and the next time I would get a slap on the hand or a swat or whatever. And that was the way, and it worked apparently. And I remember we did this with Anna, and it was hilarious because she would walk towards things and she had sign language down, so we would sign to her no. And she would be going, no, 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 headed directly for what she wanted to touch. Because her brain was saying, no, I shouldn't do this. And her body was saying, I gotta touch this thing, you know. And so she was having a great conflict between the old and the new man right there in front of all of us. But parenting, discipline, a couple things I like in here. One is discipline won't hurt your child. And I think, like, there's a fear, even in me, like, getting a daughter, it was very hard for me to spank her. With my son, it was like, eh, whatever, flat. But, like, disciplining a daughter was really hard. And I just was sure because my mom taught me never to hurt little girls or women that, like, I was just going to damage her somehow if I gave her any kind of discipline. So discipline was very difficult for me because I was just too hard. But the thing is, it won't hurt your child. They will survive your discipline. And I'm not talking about brutality. I'm talking about just normal, structured discipline. Whatever it is, there needs to be clear-cut consequences. And you need to tell your child what they are. I should be able to go to your house and say, you know, all right, tell me exactly what you're not supposed to do and what happens to you if you do it. So that children should be able to tell, oh yeah, well, if I do this, then mom and dad do this. So, discipline. It won't hurt your kids. Principle 4. I kind of did this a little backwards. It's chapter 4, where we start with verse 10. This is my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom, and I lead you along straight paths. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Two ideas here. One is, I kind of titled this, you have skills and you need to get skills. If you have children or if you're mentoring somebody, you have what it takes. You have things to offer. And I think sometimes we just don't believe that. But without any more training, without any more thinking, without any more, you have what it takes to be a parent. You have what it takes not just to be a parent, but to instruct your children. And I even think with mentoring, a lot of times we don't believe this, that there are people in this church and outside of this church that you have things to offer to, and you don't have to gain anything to do it. You already have stuff. You need to be confident about that. You have stuff. Believe it. Say it. Look in the mirror when you wake up as your baby's screaming, or I have stuff. I have stuff. Doesn't think so, but I do. The other thing is you need to get stuff. Danielle, when I was talking to her a couple weeks ago, said, I think her father, or no, she said Desert Christian taught her to be a lifelong learner. And I was like, that's good. Like, if you're going to be a parent, you need to be a lifelong learner. I love what it says in Proverbs. He's saying, I was taught to pursue wisdom, and I'm telling you, you should pursue wisdom. Part of being a parent is consistently pursuing wisdom and consistently pursuing God. But it's not just God. It's pursuing a hobby. It's pursuing a skill. It's being able to fix your car or being able to decorate or being able to whatever you really gets you. You need to pursue that too, because those are things that you can offer to your kids. I remember for the spiritual end of it, my mother had a lot of trouble sleeping, and so she'd often be up at 4 a.m. and occasionally I would get up and see her there, and she'd be reading her Bible and praying, and as soon as I would sit down, she would just include me in her quiet time and start asking me questions and telling me what she was learning and dialoguing with me. And obviously this was when I was older, but she included me in what she was learning. I think this is the hard part. I think we all get to the point in our life now where, especially if we're parents, and if we have multiple children, it just feels like I can barely get enough time for myself. I remember talking to one woman, and we were talking about just spending time with God, and she said, well, I usually spend time with God in the bathroom, because that's the one place my children can't come for a few minutes. It's where I pray. So I understand the chaos of having little children. But I think part of being a parent, as I said already, is that your job is to learn and to continue learning about God and to include your children in that. So one of the things that you can do is just practice sitting next to your child and telling them about what you learned. Same with mentoring. Sit down with the people that you are mentoring or want to offer things to and just start telling them what you're learning about God or what kind of hobbies you're learning. But one of the things I was telling Jeff a while back, and I still need to follow this, is that I just want to go to his shop for one day. Because my dad, bless his soul, when he tried to fix the car, I have this so vividly in my head. Mom looking out the window saying, what is Dad doing? And he has a big hammer, and he's just hitting the engine with the hammer. And I think he'd been out there for like 4 or 5 hours. And he was just frustrated with this old Volvo. And so my dad didn't really teach me much about cars. And so they're like this mysterious thing. And I wish he had, or at least, you know, showed me how to go to an oil change place. Even oil change places were scary to me because he never taught me how to do that either. So it's not just the following God. You have lots of things that you know, and you can continue to learn things and include your children in that. And that's part of the whole training thing. That's part of the whole idea. That you have stuff, and you need to get to learning more stuff so you can teach your children. Principle number 5. Starting in Proverbs 5:20. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? I just wrote this one verse. I could write like 60% of Proverbs, because that's all it is about saying, don't go after this woman. This is what she's like. So I just put that one verse. Verse 20 of chapter 6, it says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. Two things, and this is in particular to fathers. And if you didn't get this and you become a father, find somebody who knows how to do it and have them teach you. But talk to your children, dads, even to your daughters, talk to your children about women, about men, and about sex. And talk about it more than once. Talk about it over and over and over again until they're tired of hearing about it from you. One of the things, the McConnells were over on Friday, and we were having this discussion about one of their children and how wonderful he is. And we're all, you know, and Emily was glowing about him, and Caleb it was. And Anyway, then we got into, as with McConnell's, you often do, a very theoretical conversation about how children learn things. And Jeff was like, you know, I just think with teenagers, they learn better sometimes away. You know, they go to a camp and something you've been telling them, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I've never heard this before. And they're like, what? They've been telling you this a lot. And Emily was saying, yeah, and the research shows that the more you talk about it, the more likely they'll go away and be like, oh, I've never heard of this before, but this is a great idea. And so the thing is, women, men, girls, boys, sex, I mean, obviously there are ages that you have to talk about these things, but don't just talk about it once. Talk about it until they're like, Dad, be quiet. Stop talking to me about this. They need to know, and they need to have a structure, they need to have a grid that lets them negotiate this world, because it's getting more and more difficult to negotiate visually, auditorily, and so we need better grids. Second, as fathers, you need to build, if there's a two-parent family, you need to build your wife up in the eyes of your children. So, in front of your children, and when you're with them alone, you have to say, your mother's awesome. You should be listening to her. What is your mother teaching you? What have you learned from your mom? Listen to your mom. Listen to your mom. Listen to your mom. It's hugely important, because moms are the ones who are often given the burden of the consistent and constant instruction of how life works. And so, people, little children, need to know that mom has really good things to offer. And you need, and it's very helpful in teaching your children how to be respectful of women, in particular your sons. So, two things for fathers. One, talk to them about relationships with girls and boys. Talk to them about sex. More often, if you're a father, your son. But you still need to be involved in the discussion with your daughter, even though that might make you uncomfortable. Second, you need to lift the mother of the children up. You need to constantly be saying, what did your mom say? What is she telling you? Listen to her. Kids, listen to your mom. I'll just start right there. Point number six. Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in a pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep in your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hands of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Neighbors, friends. Part of being a father or mother, part of parenting, is teaching your children how to deal with outsiders, how to deal with people outside of the family. And in particular, what you do when you get in trouble, when you lie, when you cheat, how to deal with conflict and strife. And so I think this particular point ties right back into the first one, teaching about what kind of friends you have. You really need to sit down with your children. And I started this with Ashton when she was two. I take her to Wendy's every day, or not every day, every week, and we would talk about all of her friends and about life. It lasted for like 3 minutes, and I talked most of the time. But after a while, she got used to it, and she would answer. But I was just trying to create some kind of rapport between us so that we could talk about her friends, and that this would become a regular thing, that her and I would discuss the situation at our house, discuss her friends at school, that this would be something that she knew, that she could come to me if she was in trouble and I could give her advice, and that she would also just be in the process of critically thinking about those people around her. And so part of the problem, I think, with our school system and with the world at this point is none of us know how to think critically. We just aren't very good critical thinkers. It's hard for us to think critically. It's not something that it's just not something we've developed in school anymore. And so part of being a parent is consistently developing people who think critically about life, developing kids who think critically about life. So part of the training program for your children is to develop critical thinkers. Point number 7. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrel, we'll just skip the quarrel, some wife thing. There's a couple more about children in public. This is key, because you know what? There's sort of a myth that parenting children and disciplining them and training them is about them. It's not. It's about you not being stressed out. Being a good parent is all about you being comfortable. And I think that's often missed. Because if you're, especially with little children, if you're in public and your child is doing things you don't want him to do, you're just like, I gotta get out of this public situation and get my children to get home. And if your children are like asking awesome, and you're like, oh, and everybody else's children are going crazy, then you're like, well, it's because I'm a good parent, you know, I'm good at this. And it changes your emotional state. And so part of parenting is simply because you want to have a good emotional state. And so when you discipline and you structure things, it should be structured around you being relieved. You should be able, when you discipline your children, you should be able to put them in a place where it's not always going to be chaos for you. So I would just say that when you think about parenting, realize that it's not just about your children. It's about how can I actually calm in public. And the thing is, I love the proverb that says, train your child up in the way he should go and he'll stay that way. But parenting little children is not about getting them to be great adults. Parenting little children and disciplining them and having structure so that you can maintain sanity. That's all that it's about. And it will help them in the long run. But really, sanity is the part that you need to remember. So, one of the motivators to disciplining your children and giving them structure is just so that you'll be sane. And the very last one, principle number 8. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes keep to my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Move to 30. Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine, in the end it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. The very last principle is, can you ask people you're mentoring, can you ask your children to watch you? Are you living a life that you could say, if you imitate me, things are going to be okay? And in particular, can you, oddly enough, can you say, watch me in the way I deal with women, particularly fathers, or the way I deal with men, mothers, and the way I deal with alcohol? It's just interesting that those are the two things that are under, in this proverb, under watch me. But the real question is, your children are watching. Are you living a life that you want them to imitate? Would they know how to deal with things, adversity, if they're watching you? So those are the 8 principles that I kind of came up with out of Proverbs. One is that you are an instructor and teacher of your children. 2, you got to have reasons for why you do what you do. 3, discipline won't kill your children. Structure, consistent discipline will actually apparently remove folly from their hearts. And something you should also remember is children are fools. They are. Foolishness is bound up in them. 2, you have skills and you need to get skills. You have things to offer and you need to continue to pursue that and challenge your children to do that. 3, talk about sex, relationships, honor your mother. Teach kids how to involve themselves with the outside world in ways that are above board. And last, well, not last, but remember, parenting is about you as much as it's about kids. And last, kids are watching you. So those are kind of the eight principles I kind of yanked out of Proverbs. Is there any response? Never mind. We won't have any response. Let me just simply close with, if you don't remember anything, remember Proverbs 22:6. If you're a parent, you have a job. You're a trainer. And it requires intention. And I think one of the coolest things to do, like this assignment that I gave you that you're supposed to be writing out about different people, hear what you think their gifts are, their strengths, their weaknesses, all those kind of things, you should take a page for your children, or for even somebody you're mentoring, but for your children, or your future children even, and write down, what do I want her or him to look like when he's 20, or she's 20? What are the characteristics I want them to have, and how am I going to get them there? How am I and God going to get them to that point? So with that, let's close. Dear God, thank you for the village. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for the kids that we will have in the future. Lord, I just pray that you would protect them, you would protect us, that you would give us grace as we parent and as we mentor and as we are children. Give us grace. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. A couple of things tonight to do to respond to what God has to say to you. One is through offering. If you're visiting with us, we're just happy to have you. If you are regular with us, here's the basket. You pass it around. We have communion here in the middle and in the back. Communion for us is really special. It's where we say, as a community, I stand with Jesus, meaning I believe that he died for me, his body was broken, his blood was poured out for me, and he rose from the dead. If you can say that, then you can take communion. Lastly, we're just going to listen to some music, meditate, sing some songs, eat some pizza. Let's do that together.